too late now.
You know, your preacher here, he says we've meant a lot to him. He's meant a lot to us. Him and his entire family. And we are grateful for what God's done in their life and through their life. We're grateful for all their children. Grateful for the things that they have done, for the things that God will do with them in the future. Be sure to learn to pray for your pastor. Learn to pray for his entire family. I assure you, he prays for yours every day. You ought to pray for his every day. I used to tell our people the same thing about our kids. They're all grown now and serving the Lord themselves. And that's what we want for him. And I'm trying to get unstuck here. There we go. And certainly what we want for your family as well. He said a moment ago a statement that amazing that God put it there. He says, I remember. Yeah. You know, sometimes it do us well to remember some things. Yes, that's what I want to preach to you about tonight. You'll take your Bible there at 2 Timothy chapter 2 if you'll stand with me as we read the Word of God and give God the honor and glory for what He has given to us. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's what your pastor is trying to get to where some of you men can become those teachers. Some of you ladies can become those teachers. Some of you men can become preachers of the gospel along the way. Thou therefore, verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I may repeat myself a little bit tonight, but as I go along, I have to comment. I said this morning, Christianity is not an easy business, if you will. Anybody tells you it's all just everything's going to go well and fine? It's not always that way. The thing we have is we have a promise of eternal life. We have a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ being with us every step of the way. The Holy Ghost of God in us, God in us, the Christ in us. We have great company that goes through this life that we live by faith. So this is verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We're in a war, ladies and gentlemen, a battle, if you will, that he may please him, that is God, that is Christ, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You didn't realize you were part of the selective service, did you? You have been chosen. How many of you saved again tonight? Say amen. Amen. You have been chosen by God to be a soldier of the cross, the soldier of Christianity. Verse 5, if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that labored must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say. Remember, it's the Apostle Paul speaking to the young preacher, Timothy, a young Christian and a young preacher. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember, there it is, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Aren't you glad God abides faithful? Because so many times we're not, but he is constant. He is faithful all the time, all the way through, even into eternity, if you will. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Verse 14. Of these things, what thing? The things that he has taught him here, and also in the first letter to Timothy. All these things, Paul trying to teach this young Christian, this young preacher, and us tonight. So be careful to pay attention. Of these things, verse 14, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Let's stop right there and cut off, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Lord, it's been a great night to see a church that's organized and going forward, a church that will never end, Lord, because it'll be carried off into eternity to be there forever and ever and ever. And so, Lord, I pray you would empower this church with everything they have need of, with new members as they get saved or as they come to the area and join a gospel-preaching church. And then, Lord, for everybody in the church already who signed tonight, let them know that their signature on that line makes them responsible for the work that you've given them to do here in this church. And then, Lord, I pray that you would bless Brother and Mrs. Fogg, their entire family, watch over them, guard them, Lord, and guide them in the way that you've called them into. Help us to hear nothing but great things in the days and weeks and months and even years ahead if you tarry your coming. And we'll love you and thank you as we remember what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake only we ask it all. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When we look at these two verses, I want you to look back at verse 8 and 14 again. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And then verse 14, he said, of these things that he's taught him, that he's helped him as he's put them in remembrance. In order for you and I to understand the significance of those two key verses tonight, we got to see the context in which they were brought from, where they were from, where it was written. Look back at chapter 1 for just a moment. Look what he says here to Timothy in the beginning of this chapter. Look at verse 3, chapter 1. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayer night and day. By the way, how many people do we remember in our prayers?
Yeah.
I was speaking with the man tonight, with Brother York. He's like his pastor from Amarillo, Brother Chadwick. When they pray for you, when you say pray for me, look out, because they're going to grab you by the shoulder, yeah, and you're going to pray right then.
Amen.
Only ones I ever knew that did that before was the Bonham family in San Antonio. But if you wanted to be prayed for, you say, hey, Brother Fred or Brother Claude or Claude Sr., would you pray for me? Stop right there and they pray for you right there, because they know what you're going to do. You're going to walk off, forget everything you were told. Amen. So sometimes somebody ask you to pray for them right then.
Amen.
Amen. You'll find out whether they meant it or not. Yes. Amen. So it says here in verse number 3, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayer night and day. Stay with me now. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that they may be filled, that I may be filled with joy. Watch it now. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now let me stop there. Look at verse 6, verse part of it. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. It's amazing to me when you read words over and over in the Bible.
Yep.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah,
and one day I was just reading. I don't do a lot of writing devotional material, but I do devotional material on my own. Write down a thought from there. And God gave me this thought, and I want to preach on that subject, remembering.
Yep.
Remembering. It'll help every one of us here tonight.
Right.
Undoubtedly, things were not going well for the young preacher here. They were not going well, maybe in his health, maybe in his spiritual life. Maybe it's in the church that he was pastoring. It may be in some other ministry that he was involved in. But things were not going real well. And what the Apostle Paul was trying to do was encourage him in the work, just like he's encouraging us tonight in the work of God that he's put us in and involved us in. Things sometimes don't go well as a child of God. It doesn't go well with our flesh. It didn't go well with our spirit sometime. And you hear me now. The spirit, Bible said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So we know that God's in his work, amen. But our flesh sometimes gets in the way without too much hindrance. I'd be first to confess to everyone here tonight that things don't always turn out as I would like for them to do in my Christian life. So what do? I have to remember some things.
Yes,
remember that I'm saved, amen.
Amen.
And I know that's for eternity. Remember that I'm cared for by somebody who cared more for me than even my wife,
amen,
who cares a great deal for me. I'm loved by someone who loves me more than anybody could ever love me, amen. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and even the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There in 1 Timothy that we read, we found out how God loved us. Or how God loved Paul and Paul loved Timothy, and we're to love one another in the same manner.
Yep.
And if we're not careful, our flesh will get involved and cause us to be weak,
yes,
in our spiritual life.
Oh.
And you know, we've got somebody that we can go to. Peter found that out, and he wrote it in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our care upon him, for he careth,
amen,
for you. Amen. Now, if we don't remember those truths, we'll become weak in our Christian walk,
right,
and in our way of thinking, leaving ourselves open in the flesh, listen to me, to the bombardment of Satan himself.
Yeah.
And he'll come to you with all kinds of thoughts. Why do you go to church anyways? Why do you serve God anyway? Why do you read the Bible anyway? He'll cast doubt and stuff in your mind that'll cause you to quit doing what you're doing, what you know you're supposed to be doing. Living for the Lord, being faithful to the church, being faithful to the one who saved you from a devil's hell. None of that changes, even though you may change it for a period of time. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I have three siblings, and those three siblings are not serving the Lord. I've had the opportunity to lead one of them to the Lord. My sister got saved on her own. My other brother that's 19 months younger than I did not get saved. I have an alcoholic brother. I have a drug addict brother. I have one of my brothers spent time in the penitentiary. I have a sister who's been married four times, twice to the same guy, and kids by the same person. None of that's been a part of my life. Why is that? Because of the grace of God. Because of salvation that came into my life and changed my direction in life. Changed my eternal destiny, if you will. And listen to me, they can get saved at any time, but they have messed up their life because they chose to go the different direction than God had put us in. So the Apostle Paul was doing his best from experience of his own to help Timothy through whatever he was going through. And we're really not sure. But he starts out here, and it's amazing to me. He says in chapter 2, in verse number 3, look at this. This is amazing to me. In the work of God, he said, thou therefore endure, what is that? Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, Timothy, he's talking to Timothy, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. I believe, for whatever reason, he's speaking directly to Timothy. Now, I don't know if Timothy had gotten into the flesh. I don't know what kind of trouble he may be in, but Paul was reminding him of the responsibilities that he had. And by the way, they're the same responsibilities you and I have here tonight. Now, remembering is a good thing sometimes. Sometimes it's not so good. We remember things we shouldn't have done. Remember things that we did that we shouldn't have been involved in. But sometimes remembering things, for instance, when he's talking to Timothy here, he stops here in the middle of all this in verse number 8, and it caught my attention. This is what caught my attention. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Why in the world did Paul all of a sudden interrupt this directive to Timothy, trying to help him and keep him where he needed to be and encourage him along the way? And he stops and reminds him of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, because that, listen to me, that is the foundation of our Christian life. Without the eternal life, we have absolutely nothing. And to be reminded that you and I, if we died right here like those people did in that church this morning there in South Texas, are y'all with me? I'm thinking here, your doors are wide open. Anybody could walk in and say, you know what, you Christian, bam, 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 and you're gone. Amen. And if you're a Christian, you're on your way home to be with Jesus.
Amen.
The resurrection promise that. So along the way, maybe he was just telling Timothy, all this you're going through and you don't quite understand it all, and I'm trying to encourage you. You know what you need to do? You need to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you.
Amen.
You know why that's so important? Would you look back with me to 1 Timothy for just a moment?
Amen.
Look back at me with me at 1 Timothy for just a moment. And look at chapter 1, because here's another one. Here's another man who, remember, by the way, Paul was his teacher, right? Now look here what Paul says, and I'm going to get to this a little bit later, but I'm going to read it right up front now. In verse number 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And remember, this is Paul speaking of himself, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what Paul was doing? Paul was reminding himself. He was remembering from whence he came. Maybe we just need to stop once in a while and remember from whence we came. Come from a lost condition on our way to a devil's hell, or maybe we were involved with drugs and alcohol, whatever it might be, and God saved us out of all that and put us in this new Christian life, which is not an easy life, but it's an expected life for you and I to live. Hello? By the way, how grateful are we tonight? We need to remember these things. That's the reason why I believe with all my heart, as I read that, he is trying to encourage Timothy in the work of God in his Christian life as a young man and a young preacher. Hey, Timothy, don't forget the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's our hope. That was his hope. There are different ways of remembering. There's a way the Jews remembered, and they had a participatory type of remembrance. Another word, it's a long word, and I got it out there. But it means to participate in what they're remembering. And I'll share that with you in just a moment. And then there is what I call the Gentile way of remembering, if you will. And both of those are important for us before we go any farther. Remembering means to recollect or recall to mind something or someone that is no longer necessarily present, but has a reaction to your heart and your mind from the past. It needs to be remembered. But the Jewish remembering became a participatory remembering. Let me give you an example. How many of you remember a man by the name of Noah? Does everybody remember Noah? Noah and the great flood. We all remember God tells Noah the rainbow is a covenant sign that he would never cover the whole earth in judgment with water again. Did he not? Genesis chapter 9 verse 8. I preached a message along this line not long ago. Walked outside my wife and lo and behold, there's a beautiful rainbow outside. Every time you see a rainbow, God's keeping his commitment to us. He's keeping his promises. And there's a way to participate when we look at it and remember what God has said to Noah and to the rest of us as well. So each time the sign of the rainbow comes or appears outside, the covenant God made for the future is remembered by you and I. We can always look back to that covenant that God made and know that God has kept his word.
Amen.
Then there's a preeminent picture of redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about that and we think about what we talked about earlier today. The story of the great Exodus, if you will. The story of the blood on those posts and door, if you will. And how that was the only thing that was going to deliver the firstborn from dying in that given night. We remember that. But they remembered it differently. They remember it by observing the Passover every year. They don't do as much anymore today. Kind of like Christians don't observe everything they ought to be observing today. But the Jew would observe that annually. And they would do that at the same time they were told to observe it here after they had been, if you will, allowed to go out, exit, if you will, the great country, the old country of Egypt, if you will. Now listen carefully. I'm trying to hurry. I know you guys are looking at your watches already. Put them away. Amen. I want you to see this because it's so important. And so when they partook of the Passover, they would remember that great Exodus and they'd never forget it. You know, you and I got something along that line. If you were to take and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and for sake of time, don't do there, but you'd find the Lord's Supper.
Yep.
And in that Lord's Supper, you and I are to observe the Lord's Supper to remember what he did for us.
Yeah.
Or remember the blood that was shed, the body that was given. And we're to do this until what? Until he comes again.
Yep. Right.
Do this in remembrance of me until he comes again.
Yep.
That's our opportunity, if you will, to connect with God and remember those things that God has done for us. But you know, there's some other thing we need to remember. How about remembering when you got saved?
Yep.
How about remembering that day, that night, that afternoon, that place in which you were saved? How about sometime remembering maybe the date that you got saved, the night you got saved? Remembering that. You know what that does? It encourages you.
Yep.
That reminds you of the goodness and grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
And by the way, you don't have to have anything important there other than this. It's marked down in my Bible. It's marked down in some other area. It's marked down maybe in a book you got. It's marked down in the church you got saved in. I can promise you that. But more important than that, it's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life too. And it causes us sometime when things are not going so well to remember some events in our life. How about remembering those that were a part of those events? For example, how about remembering the preacher that was preaching when you got saved?
Yeah.
How about remembering the person who came and took a Bible or a tract, opened it up, and led you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? How about remembering them? That'll encourage you.
Right.
How about remembering Scripture by memory?
Yep.
Hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. That'll help you to encourage you in your Christian life. Now, remembering your salvation, remembering who led you to Christ, how and where you were saved, the preacher that may have been preaching, the soul winner who came, whatever it might be, those are things that encourage you. There was a rock set after a battle of the Philistines. I don't have time to develop that in the Old Testament. And they set up a rock and they called it Ebenezer, if you will. It was a stone of help. That's what it meant. A stone of help. It was there. You know why it was there? So they could remember.
Yeah.
So that when they walked by one day with their kids, they could say, let me tell you a story about this rock right here. It was a rock of help. It's when God destroyed the Philistines and we were allowed to live and move on in our walk with God. And they remembered that.
Amen.
When Joshua went over Jordan and stopped on the other side, put them stones up, one for every tribe. Why? To remember that God had parted that Jordan River.
Yeah.
We could go on and on and on. Why? God wants us to remember some of the things that He's already done for us, that it might encourage us today and tomorrow and next week.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but that stirred me up. Revival, that just revived me. It just wakes me up. And if God was willing and able to do all that in the past, what in God's name is He able to do now?
Preach.
Aren't you looking forward to the next thing He does so you can remember it?
Amen.
Wait till He calls another young man to preach the gospel. That's well worth remembering. Wait till He calls a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter to come home. That's worth remembering. Well, I could go on and on and on. Remembering your parents. Remember that firstborn.
Yep.
I remember the firstborn. My wife had it firstborn, and Lord, we was in there for 432 hours or something like that. I mean, it was on and on and on and on and on. She finally had it, and as soon as she had that thing, it was 9 pounds and thing. It's a son. 9 pounds and how many? 14 ounces? 9 pound, 14 ounces. Do you know that's close to 10 pounds? Finally, he was born. He come out, and I mean, you know, she had trouble and everything else. She said, "What'd you say he was?" Here's a Green Bay Packer. My wife even went against me then. He's a Dallas Cowboy. Wasn't a football. He didn't make that either. But anyway, he's a preacher today.
Amen.
That's good enough. Amen. Amen. And I remember the second born and the third born. I think the third born was changed in the nursery. There's something about Sean. I think they switched him, and I got somebody else's child, and they got mad. I don't know if that's true or not, but he did get saved. Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
I remember when they were born.
Yeah.
And kids, your parents remember when you were born.
That's right.
There's some things worth remembering.
That's right.
I remember when the first child left home. They say you have that empty nest syndrome where the mother's going, "Oh, my firstborn." I didn't, buddy. That second one left home, I went, mm. The third one left home, went, mm, and just shouted, and they were all gone. Then here come the grandkids. Amen. All 9 of them. There's something worth remembering. I remember when our first grandchild was born. There's just something worth remembering. By the way, things worth remembering are worth writing down.
Amen.
Guys, remember your wife's birthday.
Yes, sir.
Guys, remember your wife and your anniversary.
Amen.
And I don't mean the day after either. Amen. But let me tell you what remembering and remembering friends. My wife and I have some very good friends. I hate it when people tell me they're in the ministry, especially they can't have friends because they're afraid they'll stab them in the back. I ain't worried about that. But we have some good friends we've traveled with for years. We have 2 good friends, the Smiths and the Moores. Traveled with them 27 years on vacation. 27 years, and we're still friends. We don't travel together anymore because we'd have to help each other get in the car. But they're still friends. I remember good times with them. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
They're in the ministry. They pastor. They're pastors' wives. We encourage one another.
Yep.
We get around one another. We talk about each other's kids, both negative and positive. Amen. But I said all that to say this, and I want you to listen to this, and we'll be done. I want you to listen to me carefully. I want to share with you quickly what remembering, like we have discussed quickly here, does to those who remember from Paul's perspective. I read to you a moment ago Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And can I say to you, because of that reading, go back to it with me, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. You know what he's doing? He's remembering his salvation. He's remembering his calling. But he's also remembering from whence he came. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Now hear me quickly. Because he remembered, he became more grateful.
Yeah, right.
Let me say something to you, Christian. You want to have a revival spirit? How about being grateful for the things that God has already done?
Yes,
grateful for a good church. Grateful for a preacher who preaches the gospel. Grateful for a preacher's wife who loves her ladies. And grateful for God's goodness and God's love, mercy, and grace. So many things there. And Paul remembered how grateful he was.
Yes,
by the way, that's what he's trying to get Timothy to see. Don't you forget. God saved. Don't you forget the I think he was talking to him about the death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes, sir.
Do not forget these things, Timothy, in your life. It's what makes you stronger in the faith. It's what accomplishes that victory over your flesh and keeps you walking in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Paul became more grateful, more thankful because he remembered. He remembered from whence he came, as I said earlier. Do you remember from whence you came? It ought to cause you to be so grateful. So, well, I was raised a Christian home and I was a Christian my entire life. You ought to be grateful for that.
Amen.
But you ought to be grateful that God pulled you up by the shoelaces, if you will, out of a gutter somewhere and saved your wretched soul or delivered you from alcohol, delivered you from other things. You ought to be grateful and remember the grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
By the way, you realize there's 8 billion people in this world? Do you realize that somewhere along that line you fit in? It may have been some of us that are older. It may have been 6.5 billion people at that time. But you understand that God looked down and said, I want you and you and you and you and you. And you were chosen.
Yeah.
You were chosen to be a soldier. You were chosen to endure. And listen to me, that's worth remembering.
Yeah.
That's worth remembering so that you can go forward knowing it wasn't you that called you. It was God who called you.
Yeah.
It was God's love, God's mercy, God's grace.
Yeah.
He just wants you to remember that.
Yeah. Amen.
Remember from which you came,
yes,
and now where you're headed, amen.
Yeah, amen.
By the way, where are you headed tonight?
Small, free, man. Free.
You know, we always talk about we need prayer for revival, and prayer is a big part of revival meetings.
Right.
But prayer is not going to handle it all. It's just making a decision in your own heart, in your own life.
Yeah.
I'm going to live for God,
regardless
of what everybody else says or what everybody else does on my job, in my family. It don't matter. I'm going to serve God because God loved me. God gave me His mercy, love, and grace, and I owe that to God to remember what He done. He was saying, Timothy, you need to remember some things, son.
That's right.
Paul remembered, and remembering makes you more grateful, more thankful. Number two.
Amen.
Number two. Remembering makes you more faithful.
Yes,
look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're talking about the teacher now. We're talking about Paul. He's the one doing the teaching right here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You'll know when you get there. You've read it 1,000 times over. We're going to read 1,001 now. He said, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Y'all see that here?
Right.
He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. By the way, that is our theme for the entire year at our church that we're at, loving His appearing. By the way, loving His appearing, there's some ways you ought to live. We can't preach all that tonight, but there is.
Yep.
Now, having said this and read this for just a moment, I want you to understand something. He's teaching Timothy to be faithful.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Go back to 1 Timothy. Y'all all right with moving back and forth here?
Amen.
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at it again with me here. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. He's talking to Timothy again still. There in chapter 1, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There's that reminder again. Whereunto thou also called, have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Who's the teacher? Paul.
Yep.
Who's the student here? Timothy.
Yep.
Who's the other students? You and I.
Amen.
What he was saying, Timothy, is I fought the good fight of faith. I kept the faith.
Yep.
And that's what you're to do.
Amen.
That's what you and I are to do.
Amen.
I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now it's time for you to do the same thing.
Yep.
The same things he was reminding Timothy of, God had reminded him of over and over in his ministry. Remembering makes us more faithful.
Amen.
To go on.
Yep.
I'm so glad that God, I want to die faithful. I don't care if my name's ever written anywhere. I really don't. But I do want to be found faithful.
Yep.
When God comes. In fact, God himself says, shall I find faith on the earth when I come back?
Right.
Yep. Are y'all listening?
Yep.
That's not the faith by which you are saved, because that already has happened and been decided when he comes back. You better have made that choice before then. So what faith he talking about? Faithfulness.
Yes, sir.
That's serving God from week in and week out, even when you have to struggle at it, and we all have to struggle sometime. But hear me, when you stop and think about what God's doing and what God's already done, and you remember something and you remind yourself of it, I guarantee you, give you a boost of energy.
Amen.
You won't have to go down and buy one of them boost drinks down there. Amen. God will give you a boost of energy. Remembering makes us more grateful, more thankful. It makes us more faithful in serving God. I could go on and on. Number three, remembering makes us more thoughtful of others.
Yep.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 again. Again, our teacher, he's writing. Look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me.
Yep.
Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. Stop right there. Let's just stop right there. Y'all remember Mark. Everybody remembers John Mark.
Yep.
He wasn't allowed to go on that second, third missionary journey, was he? He only went on that first one. You remember that? And he went with Barnabas and Paul, and he cut out, went back early. Y'all remember that?
Yep.
He wanted to go on that second journey, and Barnabas wanted him to go too. And Paul said, no way.
Yep. Yep.
No way. He bailed on us. I'm not taking that chance again. This work is too valuable.
Amen.
Amen. But while he's in prison, ready to be martyred for Christ's sake, he says, bring me John Mark. Bring me Mark, for he is now profitable. You know what he learned? He learned how to forgive others.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep. That's right.
Amen, brother.
When I think of all that God's forgiven me of when I got saved and after I've been saved, how thoughtful God is of my own actions and my own life and my marriage and my children and my ministry, it's amazing to me.
Yep.
To know how thoughtful He is of me and how thoughtful He is of my future, and yet I'm not that thoughtful of Him. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Can I read a little bit more to you? Look down at verse number 19 in 2 Timothy. Verse number 19, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Let's go a little bit farther. In fact, go down to verse number 15. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our word. At first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. By the way, I only know two other men that made a statement like that.
Yeah.
One of them was Jesus.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Another one was Stephen, who was stoned to death by the one that's teaching here.
Yeah.
It was Stephen that was doing the teaching on that day.
Yeah.
And Stephen, before he was stoned and left there dead, he said to the Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then Paul says here, listen to it now, at first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You know what they were concerned about? They were not concerned about what others done to them. They were concerned about what God could do for others. Look here at verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, literally, by the way, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, verse 18, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look up here. It's right after that, in some period of time, that he was beheaded.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? But yet he said the Lord would deliver him again. And he did. That's what Paul was trying to tell Timothy. Even if you die in the midst of this, don't forget the resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what he had on his heart and mind right here when he was telling Timothy how he fought a good fight and how he kept the faith? He knew that he was fixing to be martyred. He knew his life was short. And he was trying, even at his last breath, to encourage Timothy and encourage you and I.
Yeah.
I hope to God I can be that much of the man that Paul was.
Amen.
Or even Timothy. I think Timothy finished strong. I think Titus, another one of the young men that Paul dealt with and tried to encourage, I think he finished strong as well. I want to finish strong. I want on my grave marker, I want faithful to the end.
Amen.
Faithful to my wife, faithful to my children, faithful to my grandchildren. One of my grandchildren in Bible college called and talked to his Grammy the other day and gave some type of a statement about me that I admit so much to him or whatever. You know, that does a lot to a grandpa.
Amen. Amen.
He remembered from whence he came.
Yep.
He remembered his upbringing with his grandparents, and he remembered his upbringing with his mom and dad. And those were other things I couldn't get to earlier. Remembering makes us more thoughtful of others. Others we know nothing about sometimes. Makes us more thoughtful of all of those who had an impact in our lives, as I mentioned earlier. You and I need to become more thoughtful of others, others, others. You know what others are, ladies and gentlemen? Others are lost souls around your city, everywhere. Others. Others. And you and I are to be concerned about others. We're to be concerned about others' present lives, but also others' future lives. And that's up to you and I only. God's not going to twist our arm. The Holy Spirit's not going to pin us down until we cry uncle. It needs to be a willing thing that we do. Others. Affecting lives of others. Now. So they too one day can attest to what you've done in their life. There's going to be somebody one day, if you become the kind of Christian God wants you to become, and if you start reaching out to others, there are going to be some later in the life that are going to remember what part you had in their life.
Yeah, yeah.
God's already writing it all down. He ain't going to forget anything. But the thing about it is there's others who are going to remember your part in their lives, and it's going to remind them from time to time, or they will remind themselves. They may be taking their Bible. They may be taking their Bible and running through their Bible. Sorry about that. And they may look back here and stop, and there's something written there, saved, in the date. Knowing where they got saved will encourage them.
Amen.
Knowing who it was involved in their life will encourage them.
Yeah.
Reminding them at that time from whence they came.
Yeah.
From the life that they lived without Christ, lost and bound for a devil's hell, to now having a saving knowledge of God. They're going to remember those things, and it's going to encourage their lives for the rest of the life that God has for them. Remembering, remembering. I don't know about you, but that thing got a hold of me when I read it.
Yep.
Affecting the lives of others. By the way, how is your life affecting your children, parents? How is your life affecting your children? Do they see the same you at home that they see in here? Children, how is your lives affecting your parents? You may not understand everything about them, but they loved you, and God allowed them to bring you into this world, and you owe them a great debt of gratitude to get to where you were. And you need to remember those things that will strengthen your life because of that. Remembering causes you to be more concerned about others than yourself. Aren't you glad when God saved you that God couldn't remember your sins anymore?
Amen.
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 Never be brought up. We talked about this morning. Question here. Aren't you glad when you disobey God, even today, your sin is still under the blood?
Amen.
Then why is it so hard for us to forgive?
Yeah.
Why is it so hard for us to forgive others? If you and I are saved and the Holy Ghost of God and God the Father and God the Son are in us and He has given to us His love and His Word, why is it so hard? I can tell you why it's so hard. Because we're living outside of the step of grace in our life and living in the flesh. But remembering causes us to be more thoughtful of others. Can I say, let me give you another point here. Remembering causes us to be more hopeful. You know, he was trying to get Timothy to understand that the resurrection's coming again. The rapture is on its way.
Yeah,
that's hopeful, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
To be absent in the body, be present with the Lord, we know that. I'm sure if he could have read to him 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 or chapter 4, I'm sure he did. I don't know. But I know this, he was encouraging him with the thing that meant the most.
Yep.
And that is that if he died right where he was, He went home to be with Jesus.
Amen.
That ought to encourage every one of us tonight.
Yep.
Hey, no doubt, just stir in your heart and remember, there's some things you need to remember. You need to remember.
Yep.
You need to remember Him, no doubt.
Amen.
You need to remember that He gave you a book called the Word of God.
Yes.
To lead and guide your life. You need to remember that God allowed His Son to die on an old rugged cross so you could have the life you have tonight.
Yep.
You need to remember that. You need to remember the love and the mercy and the grace that God extended to you, and you and I need to extend that to others as well. I'm so thankful today that God looked down. You know, the psalmist said, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him?" I want you to think about Psalm 8. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? They tell us the other day they found a larger planet out in the middle of nowhere out there. I don't care. I'm still trying to figure out where Jupiter and Mars are. Amen. I look up here. I don't care what they find out there. Whatever they find has already been created by God. And for a purpose that only God may know.
That's right.
Yep.
But do you understand, in all of that out there, they've never located God?
Amen.
God is. God will always be. And you and I need to remember that in our lives as we live for Him. We need to be sure that we take that message to others. To the kingdom of God, others need to hear about the kingdom of God. To the grace of Almighty God, they need to hear about the grace. They need to hear about the love. They need to hear about the forgiveness you and I have heard about. We need to let them know that behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation.
Amen.
Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You're still battling with that thing. And you're not saved. Tonight can be the night of your salvation. And when you get saved, mark that thing down in your Bible and never forget it.
Amen.
Some of you remember when you got saved and remember the life that you had and how you were living and things were going well. All of a sudden things turned a little bit ugly. But you know what? Compare the ugly to all the good things. And I promise you, if you'll remember, the good things outweigh the ugly. Always outweigh the others. How many of you can remember tonight, the day, the night that you got saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you remember where it was?
Yep.
Do you remember how happy you were?
Amen.
Knowing that you know that you're saved.
Amen.
Remember when God gave you a church home you can come into and feel like it's family?
Yep.
You need to remember that often.
Amen.
You need to remember that you got a man of God, and Brother Yore so eloquently put it tonight, you got a man of God still stands in the pulpit and preaches, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
He doesn't water it down. He's accountable to God.
Yep.
You need to remember that.
Yep.
You need to remember, again, this is so simplistic, but you need to remember that love, that mercy, and that grace
Amen.
Of Almighty God
Amen.
That never runs short
yep.
and never runs out.
Amen.
And is here tonight to deal with your life and my life. The reason we don't have revival, you can name 1,000 of them, but the number one reason we don't have is us.
Yep.
It may be sin in your life. It may the flesh has overwhelmed you. It could be your backslid. It could be a lot of different things. But you know, you and God
yep.
alone
yep.
may know.
Right.
And this will be the night to make it right.
Amen.
When I think about my life and when I got saved, I think about all the ugliness prior to that still today. You say, well, you're supposed to forget that. God did. You don't easily forget it.
Yeah.
And thankful that God did in His Son of the Blood. But if you could just allow yourself for a minute to step back and remember prior to you getting saved where you were, how you were living,
yeah.
it'd help you to remember the good things about God.
Yeah.
It'll help you to remember the good things about mom, dad, about son and daughter, about each other. About each other. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Remember. So many things we need to remember tonight. I want to ask just a couple of questions, and piano player can go ahead and start playing. I want us to stand. Everybody standing. Everybody, if you're not coming to the altar,